Ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week I've got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Asa Gray.
Yes.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball, and we've got a lot to talk about, so we're going to break right in here. Guillermo del Toro has a horror anthology, and it's called 10 After Midnight. It's premiering on Netflix. We don't have a date yet, but yes, please.
Every single word in that sentence excites me. Just, he's so good. Like, I don't know why people won't just give him money for the At the Mountains of Madness movie he wants to make.
I feel like Netflix is going too soon.
I'm a little surprised that they didn't just let him make that, but they're seeing such success with TV shows that this also makes a lot of sense.
And I mean, they might like that might make an appearance in a few of these horror anthology episodes.
Yeah, I mean, he's really good at like the Lovecraftian style of just existential dread.
So yeah, no, I'm really, really excited about this. It's going to be really cool. Something I'm less excited about, I should be more excited about, but I'm not. Batwoman is coming to the CW DC-verse. She's going to make her appearance in the big crossover that they always do between their superhero shows. And we know it's going to be Felicity or some. They're going to screw this up somehow.
So we've talked about this before on the show, but I don't remember because the only one of these shows that I watch actively is The Flash. Superwoman was outside of their universe. Like they were in a different like Earth.
Yeah, Supergirl's on like Earth 3, I think, or
Is she still on a different Earth and then they get brought in together, or did she get moved to the main Earth?
No, for the crossovers, she is still on she just comes to or brings them. I only saw the first big crossover. The second one is in the seasons that I haven't seen yet because they haven't been added to Netflix yet.
Okay.
And I'll let you know then. But yeah, the first crossover, it was very much just Supergirl coming over to
this Earth,
the Arrow universe.
Okay.
The Arrow Earth, which I guess Earth 1 technically. And then, yeah, as far as I know, she has stayed in her Earth. And yeah, she just comes over for these big crossover events.
Okay. Because I didn't know if it was a thing where, because she was on NBC originally, but then now that got actually moved to CW.
Yeah.
Her show got moved to CW. I didn't know if they had changed anything there.
No, not yet.
I love Batwoman as a character.
I do too.
The new 52 run, especially the early, like the first couple arcs, were amazing. I also like that they've always kind of kept Batwoman separate from the main Bat family.
Yep.
Minus the rebirth with like Detective Comics.
And even then, like she's still separate. Like she's Bruce's cousin.
Yeah,
but
which I mean that's a thing that's always been.
Yeah,
like it's Cassandra Cain has always been.
Well, when she was Kathy Cain, because that was the first iteration of Batwoman, and Kathy Cain was, I think this is before we knew that Bruce's mother's maiden name was Cain, and Kathy Cain was a love interest for Bruce back in like the 60s.
Yeah,
I think.
But like the main what people know of Batwoman now.
Yeah,
has always pretty much always been Cassandra Cain and Bruce's cousin with her dad being the military guy and all of that.
Yeah, that's been pretty much all of modern era that's been Batwoman. So yeah, like I said, that was way back in the 60s whenever it was Kathy Cain. It's been a long time.
I read a thing, I don't remember from where, but like they were talking about like, okay, so you're actively introducing Batwoman, who is a, you know, tangentially related to the Bat family. So, and we know for sure that Bruce Wayne is in the Arrowverse because he's been mentioned by name.
Has he?
Yes.
Oh, and nice. Like, because I know they've mentioned Oracle.
And they've mentioned Wayne, like, and I remember in the first season, like, there is Wayne Tech.
Okay.
Or, like, there's Wayne Enterprises, like, boxes in a warehouse or something.
Gotcha.
So it's just that I'm assuming it's going to be like a Supergirl thing where she is from a different Earth, because there are so many complications if you flat out say that there is a Bruce Wayne and or a Batman in the Arrowverse.
Yeah.
That
so
it brings,
many.
that you kind of have to address.
Yeah. I mean, cause, well, granted, like they are on the West Coast in like Flash and Arrow. And the Gotham is traditionally East Coast. But who knows?
Oh, are you sure? Because I'm pretty sure it's just like right across the lake from Metropolis,
which is in
the middle of the country.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be like my understanding was always Metropolis is supposed to be Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and Gotham is supposed to be New York.
Yep.
And then
Bloodhaven is New Jersey.
Yep. And then you've got
Coast City and Star City are
LA and
Seattle.
Is it Seattle?
I thought it was San Francisco.
I also thought it was San Francisco.
Oh, it might have been.
I mean, either way, it doesn't really
matter.
It's a West Coast city. Those two have always been West Coast cities, and yeah, Metropolis has always been Chicago, and it's fine that Superman can go to Gotham because, you know,
super flight, and like, he's super fast.
Right. And yeah, it would make sense for, I guess, Wayne to have stuff in Chicago, maybe, but yeah, Gotham is supposed to be New York. But anyway, the point is, I don't know where Batwoman is going to come from, and yeah, canonically, Batman seems to exist because they were going to call Felicity Oracle while she was basically doing the
the super hacking.
Yep.
Enhance, zoom, enhance.
And checking street lights and all that other stuff, mapping routes and whatnot. And yeah, they're going to call her Oracle, but then Ollie makes the joke that it's Taken.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do this. I don't want to watch another season of Arrow, but I guess I'm gonna, because I need to see why Batwoman fits.
See, and that's why I'm so, like, I'm so behind. I haven't seen anything past season 3 because of I've heard nothing but atrocious things about 4 and 5.
Oh, yeah. Because, like, I mean, 4 is a straight-up dumpster fire. 5 was, it started better, and then it just went right back to why I hated 4.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, and, that, like, and I'd always heard, okay, yeah, so 4 is just hot garbage. Or dumpster fire, same thing. And then 5 was like, well, it's better than 4.
It is better than 4.
But it's like that bar is so low that that doesn't really mean anything.
Right.
Because it's definitely not good still.
Because it starts out better than 4. But like I said, it quickly devolves for the same reason. Like about halfway through the season, you're like, oh, the main antagonist of the last 3 seasons is back.
Why?
Also, the main antagonist, for those wondering, is not any kind of villain. It's the illicit relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main antagonist. Anyway, but I haven't seen any of this current season, so I don't know if it's any better or worse. Because by the time I realized they were back on air, the first episodes of Flash and Supergirl had already been knocked off. So, yeah. Now I have to wait. And they should be on Netflix anytime. I'm pretty sure those seasons are about done. And they had, like, CW adds the shows to Netflix 1 week after they finish. So, yeah, we'll see. Other TV shows that I'm not excited about, Pennyworth gets a 10-episode order from Epix. And that is Alfred Pennyworth. It's apparently the actor from Gotham. And it's a prequel story.
Is
from
it?
That's what the link you sent me said.
Oh. I didn't think it was anything attached. I didn't think it had anything to do with Gotham.
Yeah, it's I don't know for sure, but yeah, from what I read, they have the same actor from Gotham. At least, unless I misinterpreted that, which is distinctly possible. So go ahead and say I may have misinterpreted it. Regardless, Alfred Pennyworth is getting a 10-episode series on Epix. That's a thing that's happening.
Meh.
Yeah, I don't.
It could be awesome. Like, if it was the DC Expanded Universe, Alfred, like, what's his name? Iron.
Jeremy Irons?
That one. Because, like, he was...
Michael Irons?
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
The Alfred from
Batman Jeremy Irons, I think, is...
Batman v Superman.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that's Jeremy Irons.
I'm looking sure into it right now, but... Because, like, he looks like he would have a cool story because he's not, like, bald, like... serve you something on a platter super thin Alfred. Like, he looks like he'd probably been through some stuff.
Well, neither is Gotham Alfred.
Yeah, he's like a former secret agent.
Yeah, that's the way they portrayed him. Like, definitely former military.
Yeah, and that's not a super unique take on him either.
No.
Like, Alfred has always been kind of a secret badass. Just, like, minus...
Jeremy Irons. It was Jeremy Irons.
Yeah. Minus the animated series. Like, that one, he was pretty much always just kind of a butler.
Yeah.
Who would still handle his business.
Because, I mean, he knew the Batman.
Right.
Yeah.
He'd crack a serving tray over someone's head.
Because typically, in almost every plot line, Alfred knows field medicine.
Right.
Because he was a medic at some point in his life.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's usually about the extent of it. I don't know. We'll see. Like, I cannot possibly get myself excited about a prequel story starring Alfred.
But aren't you excited for him to go up against someone like someone with half a normal face and half a hideously discarred face?
Oh my God.
They won't call him Two-Face, but
he'll be slightly similar.
Won't that be neat?
Slightly similar. Riz Ahmed of Rogue One, the offers to write Miss Marvel. We talked about that a little bit last week. Kevin Feige says that there will be a Miss Marvel movie at some point, or Miss Marvel Kamala Khan will at some point be in the MCU.
I was going to say, he didn't say that there would be a Miss Marvel.
He did not say it was going to be a movie.
Yeah, but she would appear, like, it's someone that they want to appear.
Yep. So, yeah, she will make her appearance in the MCU. And, the writer of Rogue One, or one of the writers for Rogue One, offers to write Miss Marvel, which, yes, please. That's easily one of the best Star Wars movies to ever hit theaters. And, yeah, I absolutely would like him to do Miss Marvel. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, that's one that I don't know a lot about the character, other than the book is written really, really well.
Yeah, I mean,
which, according to you and the internet, because I haven't read it myself, but
yeah, so it's G. Willow Wilson is who writes it, and she's just awesome. So, but yeah, no, the book is really, really good. So I'd be really interested in seeing what a movie is going to be. And yeah, he's a phenomenal writer. So yeah, I'm all on board there. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., one of the possible appearing points for Kamala Khan. Season 6 has been renewed, but for a shortened season. Looks like it's only getting 13 episodes, but I believe it has an option to renew.
Just real quick before we launch into that more, because I do have thoughts on that. Pennyworth, the new series, will not be connected to Gotham, and Sean Pertwee, who plays Alfred on Gotham, will not be involved with Pennyworth either.
Oh, okay.
And that's according to Mashable, so...
Cool. So I probably misinterpreted that that article a little bit, because the way it read was that Alfred Pennyworth of Gotham, but it was all in caps Gotham. So I assumed they meant the TV show, but it's distinctly possible that it was just
This character from Gotham. He's getting his own show, but not really. But not this one.
A different one. It's related to
and
it.
It's,
so
it's going to be about him leaving the Secret Services and meeting Thomas Wayne in London in the 60s.
Okay, that sounds kind of interesting. So what does Epix have to do with DC? Like, is that a WB-owned
I have no
station?
Idea. Like, I've heard of Epix, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, same here.
Like, I didn't. Like, I almost thought it was a streaming service at this point.
I'm on it.
I have no idea. I don't know what Epix is. Back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're getting a shortened season. The season finale, season 5, aired this weekend. I still haven't watched it yet, so I have no idea how they ended it. Apparently, it's pretty crazy. My boss texted me with a lot of exclamation points and whatnot. But yeah, other than that, like, I don't know a whole lot about how season 5 ends. It seemed like they were preparing for the season to be their final season, but I guess since it did get renewed, I don't know. Maybe I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know.
I'm honestly fine with them having a shortened season, like, because I haven't seen any of season 5, but I've seen the first 4, and it's pretty consistent that Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can put out a half season of a really good show.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
They do not need all 20 whatever episodes, because it doesn't work. I have not fully enjoyed a full season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. yet.
Because they do tell, like, two complete stories is the way they do it.
And one of them is empirically better than the other.
Consistently, yeah.
Like, the first season gets a pass. Because the first half of the first season was pretty rough. But once they, like, caught their stride, it got real good. Like, I really, really enjoyed the second half of that season.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of same thing with, like, the second season. But I'm getting which 2 and 3 confused. Because, like, I distinctly remember liking the first half better, but then once it got into the story, I was like, oh, you're ending this not great at all.
Yeah.
I know season 4, like, the Ghost Rider half was awesome.
Yeah.
And then
the first half of that one.
Him finally, you know, whenever he shows back up in the season, it's like, oh, okay, this is better now.
Yeah, because the LMD story, like, I do like LMDs a lot. Like, me personally, that's just a cool storyline. So I actually did like the second season. The second half of season 4. The first half of season 4 was empirically better. It was amazing.
See, and I liked the LMD story. I liked the LMD story, but we didn't get an LMD story, really. We got, like, an Elseworld interdimensional stuff is different now story. Yeah. And I did not dig it. I didn't like that.
Because that was like, I think, three or four episodes in a row that they were in the simulation.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, you're right.
And there are people that, like, I don't know. I'm not going to speak for Hunter or Tanner or anyone who watched it. Like, they may have loved that. I enjoyed it with the exception
of the return of a certain character.
Yes.
But mostly because I'm just tired of seeing that dude's face.
Yes. Very much so. Because I remember being like, oh, I'm so excited that we're finally done with so-and-so. And you're like, oh, sweet baby.
Yeah, but I couldn't tell you exactly how he came back.
No.
It was like probably, if he was going to come back, it was easily the best way he could have possibly come back.
We had that talk before that season.
Yeah.
That was the season before that. So, yeah, no, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you get half a season, do it right this time, and then come back for season 7.
I don't know what they're going to do. I feel like they are about out of story to tell with these guys.
Without having to acknowledge the fact that they are within the MCU?
Yeah, because the movies have to acknowledge them at some point.
Right.
Like, the show acknowledges that it's part of the MCU.
Right, yeah, and that's what I meant. Like, the MCU needs to, like...
Yeah, because as far as, like, the MCU, like, the actual movies are concerned, Coulson's still dead.
Yeah.
They said, and how?
Which, spoiler alert, he's the protagonist. If you're not catching, like, keeping up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you just know it's a thing that exists. Coulson is the literal star of the show from episode 1.
Yep. Yeah. I don't get it. Like, the movies need to incorporate it.
Fury knows.
Well, yeah, of course, like, Fury knows. Because, I mean, Fury set that up from the beginning.
Get mad about it.
Because Fury shows up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and so does Maria Hill.
Yeah, she shows up, like, once.
She shows up twice.
Is it twice?
Yeah, she shows up twice. Fury shows up once.
Okay.
But, yeah. Especially in the earlier stuff where they try to, like, really intertwine it with the MCU because
the Winter Soldier season was awful. Well, no, that season was fine, but the way that they integrated going between the movie and the show was awful.
Just because, like, if you were watching the TV show and you didn't go to watch the movie before you watched the next episode, then...
It was spoiled for you.
Yeah. What happened in the movie was spoiled like crazy.
And if you... you know, watched the movie and then decided to pick up Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh, well, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I mean, like, that way it was a significantly less of a spoiler because you're like, oh, yeah, no, it would make sense that...
I disagree because that's how I watched it. And the entire time I'm just like, Centipede? What? No, clearly you mean other thing. And then everything happened and I was like, oh, yeah, this is dumb. Like, yeah, I'm glad you wasted a lot of my time to make the movie happen. And then now we can tell the real story.
Oh, that, yeah, that bit of it. Yeah, because that first part of that season was setting up.
Because I was waiting for that to kick in. I was like, okay, but we know. Like, this is a thing that's been established because I didn't know the timeline.
Gotcha. So, yeah, that, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's enough about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Rage 2. Wait.
That's what ABC said.
Why is this in this section? It shouldn't be. Deadpool 2. I did see it. I'm the only one at the table that has, unfortunately. But Mandy saw it. She wasn't able to join us tonight, but she did send me her review. Full price. Definitely go see it. That's my review as well. It's absolutely full price. Worth watching. I'm going to watch it again, I'm sure, because there were a lot of stuff in it that I really want to talk to my friends about, and I can't. And
now you know how Asa feels about God of War.
Yeah. Except I am willing to bet God of War is way more talk about, like, there's more we can delve into about God of War than Deadpool 2.
Now, Deadpool 2 was a dense story. There's a lot of interesting things happen.
Oh, no, Jesse, stop
that's
it.
That's cute.
But anyway, you know, it was really, really good. There are certain bits where the CG is a little off-putting for me anyway. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard a lot of people that have really noticed it because even Deadpool 1 had its moments with Colossus walking around where it wasn't, like, perfect, which is fine because it's kind of hard to make, like, you know, a 6'6" metal man walk around and look really good.
That's fair.
Yeah, but it still looked solid. All the jokes seemed fresh. They didn't just rehash everything from the first movie, which I really dug. Like, it was just a good movie. Absolutely worth watching. If you loved the first one, you will almost certainly love this one. And you've probably already seen it if you're listening to this show. But either way, if you haven't seen it, go do it. It's real good. And so this portion of our podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends in Perryville, Missouri at Villainous Grounds. You can stop there for all your coffee and comic book needs. Marvel has teased Spider-Geddon for fall of 2018. So we get another Spider-Man event, which might be revealing why Peter is going back to the black suit, which we heard about a few weeks ago. But that's literally all we know. It says Spider-Geddon, the end is nigh, was the teaser we got.
Doubt it.
Dumb.
Yeah, the end is not nigh for any of the spider people. They're making them way too much money right now. So
they're cool with them making the money for once. We're in a world now that Marvel's just like, we're okay with this again.
I mean, in all seriousness, it wouldn't be that insane, especially now that Dan Slott is off of the main Spider-Man book, if they try to kill Peter again.
That's true.
I mean,
but like, for real this time.
They can't.
Yeah, I was going to say, see, like, 6 months later and then...
Yeah, no, they're not going to kill Peter Parker. Like, that's not going to happen. He sells too many books. Like, it's... Don't look at me like
we
that.
We need video so bad sometimes.
I'm just saying.
I mean, they killed him in the Ultimate Universe, but that was okay because he still existed.
It was the Ultimate Universe, and it didn't really matter, yeah.
Exactly. The main universe, Peter Parker was still alive and well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I really doubt... if they kill him, it'll be another Doc Ock situation.
Right, where it's... temporary and
yeah,
which I mean, no matter who they kill, because they could also end up like I don't know what they're doing with any of these people, but like one of the Venoms, like Flash or Eddie.
Yeah, because right now you have Flash is running around in the anti-Venom suit.
Oh yeah, because he's no longer Agent Venom. Now he's Agent Anti-Venom.
Right,
but not actually Agent. I don't know. I don't.
Yeah, no, he's not an agent of anything at this point. But yeah, he is. He does have. He got a Venom suit, but it's anti-Venom. He's not running around with an actual symbiote.
But then didn't Eddie just recently get the symbiote back?
Fairly recently. It's been a few months now since Eddie got the symbiote back.
Mm-hmm.
It's been since the soft relaunch they did a while back.
Mm-hmm.
It might be almost a year.
You said like nothing's really known. Do we know if this is going to be like a Marvel, we're going to see like the Captain America tie-in book here, no. Or is this it's strictly within the Spider universe?
It's just a Spider event.
Do they kill Miles? Bendis is gone.
They could kill Miles. I'm honestly not sure, because I mean, and this also might be their way of bringing Spider-Gwen into the main universe, because she's still off in her own universe.
Oh yeah.
So that would make sense.
Or nothing really important happens. Some new super spider entity shows up.
I was about to say, we're going to get another spider.
This could be like Spider-Man Metal, where just like, oh, hey, no, yeah, there's this ancient spider god that hates everything.
And now we have a bunch of new spiders.
Fight him now.
That sounds very sounds very familiar to a spider event we had about 3-4 years ago.
Well, except these would all appear in the main universe.
F you. I had to really hold that one in. That was a struggle.
Yeah. So yeah, the Dark Knight's metal it, where we get this is how we introduce a whole bunch of spider people that are permanent in the main universe.
God, I hate you.
Well, until their books don't
get
sell.
Speaking of books that have gotten canceled,
can't That's say Iceman, it already happened.
We're getting a West Coast Avengers book.
Oh, I thought I missed something in the pre-show. Oh, you're not wrong, though. Why do they hate Hawkeye?
I don't know.
Both of them.
Yeah, because both Hawkeyes are in this. We're getting Kate Bishop and Clint Barton. We're also getting, I guess, in the current run of Hawkeye, Kate has a boyfriend named Johnny, and he's joining the West Coast Avengers. I don't know.
That's not how superpowers work.
Well
not Kate doesn't have superpowers.
The only person in this team that has super. Okay, that's not true. Because you've got those two with Johnny. You've got Gwenpool, who also doesn't have powers. Well, No, she kind of does.
No, she's from a different universe.
No, she... Okay.
No, no, she doesn't have powers, Jesse.
I'm going to raise my hand in a question because I still don't fully understand what Gwenpool is. She's someone who has Marvel Comics in her universe.
Yes.
Who then gets transported to the Marvel universe.
Yes.
So she knows who all of these people are and understands that they are in a comic book.
Right.
But I assumed she had, Deadpool's powers of,
Regeneration
mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
She does have reality bending powers a little bit. She can interact with the Marvel universe as though
what
it is a comic
book. What does reality bending powers mean?
Exactly. She does not.
She can interact with the Marvel universe as though it is a comic book.
So, Doc Ock came up and started trouble, she can just be like, oh, page rip, now you're dead.
No, but she can move him outside the border of the comic book.
Now I understand. No, your phone did not skip. There's just... I get why people hate Deadpool now.
I can't laugh because it hurts, but that was funny.
It's if Deadpool had god powers that just don't make sense.
But here's the thing. And what she finds out, because this is a fairly recent revelation in her book,
mm-hmm.
because she kind of figures out that she has these reality bending powers where she was literally moving bad guys. She was trying to be a real superhero because it was revealed to her that she becomes a crazy supervillain.
Mm-hmm.
So she stops that and then tries to become a superhero. And she's literally putting villains outside of the boundaries of a comic book and they just disappear completely. But it goes with how popular her book is. She can't actually interact, she can't permanently kill anybody actually popular because they would keep coming back.
So she has no superpowers.
Right.
I hate everything
because
about
she tries
that.
To kill Dr. Doom and he's just no.
Your author also doesn't only, so she can basically kill people. She can remove people from existence from when her writer is the only person touching that character.
Exactly. But even the
that
villains
the
that
worst,
she removed.
That is the worst part of Deadpool turned up to 80.
Yep. It's basically.
And the knob starts at 5.
Because the whole thing is it just kind of makes fun of how, nobody can die.
It's fine. I knew what you meant.
Yeah, it just makes fun of how nobody can die in the Marvel Universe. And because even the minor stuff, the minor villains that nobody cares about that she deletes, she ends up finding them later.
She's
They're just
Matt
in
Hardy.
Other random spots.
No. It's canceled. We're not. Deadpool's not. Gwenpool's not a thing anymore. It's okay.
Well, it is, though, because she's in this team. And I doubt that she will have, she'll probably have, the quirky stuff, and she'll know all the people because she's interacted with Kate Bishop before.
Bet
what?
That she's gonna be doing all that nonsense.
The end of one of the she will get rid of the first arc villain that way.
Either the first arc or the first fight, they're all gonna be getting their butts kicked, and she's just gonna be like, "Oh yeah, I remember, I can do this."
Whoop.
Or
I doubt it.
Hey, your book just got canceled. And then poof or whatever.
Because it's actually shown in her book. The reason they won't do this is because it's not easy to just explain or let slide. You have to basically read her book to really understand what's going on with it.
That sounds like something and Marvel would do.
It's very exclusive to the Gwenpool book.
You know what would sell books? Having to read a book to figure out what the hell just happened.
See Gwenpool, number 24.
Got him.
To explain what just happened to Hammerhead. See Gwenpool, issue 24.
Yeah, she's interacted with Kate Bishop before, mm-hmm. Gwenpool in her comic, so yeah, it makes sense that they know each other and everything, but yeah, I don't know.
Hey, I know the super fan that has a mask.
Why do they hate Hawkeyes?
I don't.
Who else is on the team? Because the rest of the team is also just
Quentin Quire and America Chavez. So, what?
Quentin Quire?
That's a mutant. He's a psychic.
Okay.
He's one of the X-Men.
That's all I needed.
Yeah.
This team sucks.
It does a little.
Hawkeye, either one of them could be doing way better.
I mean, I'm still going to try and read it. It's Kelly Thompson and Stefano Caselli. So I'm going to read at least the first couple of issues to see if it's any good. but I don't see how it could be. It's going to be like...
But didn't we just have a West Coast Avengers book like 2 years ago that was like sucked?
Yeah, like pretty much. Well, that was back when we had just like 15 different Avengers titles.
Yeah, that's why I was about to say. I was like, we've had this before. I wasn't doing a bit. Like, I legitimately remember
that. Yeah, I don't remember who was on that team, though.
It was some bull team right there.
Didn't we just a couple weeks ago talk about how Marvel has decided that there's only going to be one Avengers team from now on?
There's only going to be one Avengers book, yeah.
This is West Coast Avengers, Asa. Completely different. This is how I get slapped. This is how I get slapped.
Because, they did say that they were going to drop all the other Avengers titles, and there's just going to be one moving forward with a rotating cast and a consistent core group.
Are you getting itchy?
itchy. But my head is hot.
So, yeah, now we have a West Coast Avengers book, though, which I just don't. I don't know. Like, I have to imagine this is going to be a comedy book.
I'm totally on board with a Clint Barton-led West Coast Avengers book. Like, that's fine. I'll even give you the, there is only one Avengers book, but this is the West Coast Avengers. And then, in 2 months when we get the new Avengers. this team is awful.
It's pretty bad.
How many issues into that America book did she even get before that got canceled because no one cared?
12? 6?
It was like 12 or 13.
Was it that many?
Yeah. So, I mean, she got a year. Like,
yeah, not all of our characters get a year.
Iceman definitely got more than a year.
No, he didn't.
I thought it went to issue like 14. Mm-mm. Are you sure?
It was twice monthly.
I got that book a lot, but yeah, no, it definitely wasn't a year because I got that in the middle of, because it got canceled at the beginning of this year.
Just give Matt Fraction whatever he wants
and get him
and
back.
give me a solo Hawkeye book again, but by him, not Old Man Hawkeye. Not just let it pick up right where that run left off. Bring back David Aja. I don't know how to say it. It's AJA.
Yeah, I think it's Aja.
But
yeah, I think so too.
That was so good. I still have it. It'll keep me warm.
Yeah. I mean, you can reread it, and it's always good. Like, that is just so he good. Did such a good. He had so many good arcs with that.
He did an issue that there wasn't any dialogue because it was from the point of view of Pizza Dog. You know what super reality bending powers Pizza Dog had?
What?
None! Because that's stupid!
Yeah, no, I never said Gwenpool was a good character. I just enjoyed reading it. Okay, he went just shy of a year. He had 11 issues.
Oh, the
so,
Iceman book?
Iceman. Okay. Yeah. So it's not.
So technically, I was right.
Yeah, it was just shy of a year.
Give me the point. That was mine.
But anyway, yeah, no, this team sounds kind of dumb. Like, I'm probably still going to read it because it sounds really funny. It's not going to be a book to be taken seriously. It's going to be a little bit like Matt Fraction's Hawkeye run.
That book was to be taken very seriously because it was amazing.
So anyway, this portion of our podcast is brought to you by our good friends Josh and Alan of Press Start to Join. You can find all their content at ps2jshow.com, including their social media links and a backlog of all their episodes. I highly recommend checking out the History of Gaming episodes. He does a new one the last Wednesday of every month. All right, so the Overwatch Mercy skin, and I promise this is going to be the only Overwatch news we talk about. The Overwatch Mercy skin for the Breast Cancer Foundation has beaten their goal of raising $10 million.
Woot.
Yes, so kudos to everyone that bought one, and kudos to Blizzard for the wonderful idea. That's, like I said, that's all we're going to talk about Overwatch, I promise. Xbox is introducing the adaptive controller.
Now, I love this.
Yeah, this is amazing.
Yeah, this is super cool. So basically, Xbox has released a controller that is completely customizable for handicapped people. So you can attach a significant variety of attachments to it. So basically, however a person can move, they can set spots for buttons, D-pad, controller, etc. So they can actually play games. You can also set it up where you can have, like, I think they called it co-pilot mode.
Yep.
Where someone can actually take, like, if there's something you can't do, somebody else can, hold another peripheral and help you with that. So, yeah, no, that was super neat, and kudos to Microsoft, because that is a super cool idea, and I really, really like it.
Yeah, it's the more the way our technology is progressing, like, it's super awesome that they were able to do this and then add as much to it as you can, because it's also, it's not just for Xbox. You can also put it onto Windows and it'll work with Steam and stuff like that, which is also just, it's awesome.
Yep. And for those of you who haven't seen the video, I definitely recommend going out and watching it. It's really good. It's a little bit heartstring jerky because you got, like...
Does it start with somebody that has somebody that they that wants to play video games but can't, and that's where it started? Because yeah, that'll get me. Did I call it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not exactly. I mean, yeah, they all want to play video games but can't. But the one that got me real good, you had a set of twins. They always used to play video games. One got in a really bad accident, and basically, like, bad accident to the point that he has to talk with a, you know, that keyboard reads speech, etc.
Yeah, no, I don't need to watch this video. You already got me. I'm already thinking about what it would look like, and I'm good.
So, yeah, he's actually able to play video games with his twin brother thanks to the Xbox adaptive controller, and I'm like,
I can never say a bad word about Microsoft ever again.
Yeah, you can.
This doesn't undo.
No, this, like, don't get me wrong, this is completely amazing, but, like,
this doesn't give them a pass on any kind of, like, if they ever do anything shady
right.
again.
Google does a lot of awesome stuff, but they also did just remove Don't Be Evil from their company, like, guidelines.
Yeah.
So
they might start turning evil. Their Google overlords have officially
turned. It was only a matter of time.
It's a good run while it lasted.
Right.
Also, it's really cool because I don't know if it was with the actual controller or not, but there was a big update that hit Xbox recently that featured a bunch of things that accessibility that made things more accessibility compatible, and the Able Gamers charity, like, helped work with them on that.
That's cool, for sure.
I don't know if they actually had a hand in making the controller. But that's also just a really cool. They talk about it on Kind of Funny all the time. Of it's just a charity that is designed to help people who either can no longer play games or can't, you know, hold a controller, be able to play.
Right.
Which is just super cool.
Yeah, no, because everybody should get to experience video games. Mm-hmm. They're a wonderful thing. Wonderful, wonderful thing. And yeah, no, kudos to Microsoft. This is awesome. And yeah, no, Dalton, it's unfortunately not going to undo, like...
Yeah, see, but if they do something bad, all they got to show me is that twin brother thing, and I'm going to be like, oh, you got me. I'm weak-minded, guys. I'm sorry. I'm not...
We know.
Yeah.
We still love you.
Mm-hmm.
That might be why. No, it's not. But anyway, yeah, no, that's really, really cool. And all right, go ahead and move on
that's
before...
That's why he doesn't like Harley.
What?
Don't worry about it.
Oh,
there it is. Good job, buddy.
All right, so Rage 2 got an announced trailer.
Mm-hmm. And a gameplay trailer.
And a gameplay trailer.
Because they did the weird, like, announced trailer, gameplay trailer tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah.
Why? But
just,
all right.
Just do them both. Okay, whatever. So, yeah, no, it's a game that I'm not particularly excited about. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't care much for the first Rage, but I understand that that's on me. I always heard that it was a solid game. I recommended it to several people when I worked at GameStop.
Is that because they told you to?
No, it was legitimately like, I heard if you like Borderlands, you'll probably like this game.
I watched a friend play it. I think the issue of it was, and I, because whenever Hunter put it in our chat first, I think, or I saw it in that chat first, and I was like, I thought that was the game that had the notoriously short runtime, or like...
I don't think it's a super long game.
I think that's what the issue was. I knew it was visually stunning because I think it was one of those games on Xbox 360 that required multiple discs.
Yeah, it did. It was a 3-disc game.
Yeah, and so it was like for a 3-disc game to be short was kind of odd to me. I never played.
Like, my understanding was you still got like 20 to 25 hours of like co-op gameplay out of it.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, for a 3-disc game is pretty short.
And that's what I was saying. That's what I'm kind of getting at. Is like,
yeah. But I mean, it was one Blu-ray.
Well, yeah, of course it was. Because Blu-ray's amazing and everybody should switch to it, Mandy. But, like, yeah,
she's not going to listen to this.
Yeah, it's fine. It was that bit was for me. It's okay.
No, fair enough.
You guys mentioned it on Thursdays. But yeah, no, like, I just remember because, like, my friend Ty back in Perryville, like, he loved it. But he was like, yeah, no, I just wish I would have had, like, more game.
Yeah, and apparently it's a whole lot of fun to play, like, co-op, like Borderlands was. And, yeah, it's not as long as Borderlands. It lacks. Like, it's like a Borderlands game that takes itself really seriously.
And also, it's not a looter.
Right.
That aspect of Borderlands is not featured in it.
It's just kind of post-apocalyptic, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of was the comparison.
It's still a first-person shooter. Like, there's still vehicles to drive around. And
but stuff. Everyone's, like, insane, and it's all punk aesthetic and things like that. I mean, a lot of people are really excited for it. we kind of thought that, because we didn't talk about it last week, but there was that huge Walmart Canada link or leak that had a bunch of unannounced games.
Including Rage 2.
And Rage 2 was one of them, which part of me is like, even if that leak turns out to be BS, like, they could not have asked for this to be better. Because it put Rage 2 out there, because as popular as the first one was, I don't know how many people were clamoring for that second game.
Mm-hmm.
And so it may have not been, like, if that was an E3 announcement.
It might have gotten, like, buried.
Lost in the it might have gotten lost in the shuffle of whatever else that we're going to see.
Especially, and we're going to talk about it here in a few minutes, if Nintendo's E3 leak ends up being, like, anywhere near accurate.
Right.
But yeah, so that'll be cool. Like, the trailer looked neat.
Mm-hmm.
All right, EA confirms Battlefield 5 or V, which I don't know why they're suddenly switching to Roman numerals. They haven't used Roman numerals for any of their other games.
Roman numerals means it's fancy.
Yeah.
This is Battlefield fancy.
Battlefield fancy. Yeah, because every other Battlefield game, like, they have not done Roman numerals.
Yeah, they use numbers and then they'll reuse them four games later. The same one.
Yeah, because there are four different versions of Battlefield 2.
Yeah. anyway, what they got? They got a V.
They got a V, and we're gonna get a live reveal on May 23rd.
Mm-hmm. Host, I think it's gonna be like hosted by Trevor Noah too, because he was in like the initial and like this announced video.
Oh, neat.
That's cool.
Because he was drinking from a mug that had the V on it, and
gotcha. The V doesn't make any sense to me. Just do five. The number five.
They haven't used that number yet.
Stay consistent. Yeah, no, that's a new number for them.
They learned it.
Five?
Yeah, three ain't enough. Because I used it five times. You're welcome, Big E. Oh, I hope he listens.
And then they got like, oh no, Battlefield 1 did use the number. I was thinking for a second, 1 was just spelled out in Battlefield 1.
Nope.
It was just the number.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so I thought you were going to say it was the Roman numeral. I was like, nope. To be fair, like, it's really hard to distinguish a 1 in a Roman numeral.
Yeah,
depending on how you draw. No,
it was the one with the base and the line and everything.
The little hat.
It was absolutely Battlefield 1. The number, whatever. We'll see. We'll see more about it May 23rd. Like, I have trouble getting excited about a Battlefield game. I'll be honest with you.
I've never played one.
It's a franchise that I never got into either.
Yep. But speaking of live reveals, we got the Call of Duty Black Ops 4 live reveal.
I can't wall run. I don't want to play it. I'm the exact opposite of everybody else.
So not everybody, because I'm with you. Like, I'm going to play it.
Oh, yeah. But me too.
This is one that I wanted to talk more about whenever it got announced, because I saw it and I was just like, why? They're making a lot of decisions here.
They've made so many decisions. Yeah.
What are said decisions?
We're working on it.
Okay.
We'll get there.
Yeah. So basically, the way Black Ops 4 is going to be set up, like, we love all three of us here. That's probably the most time we put into a Call of Duty game as a group of us, anyway.
It's by myself, even, like, because I never play. I had really bad experiences with previous Call of Duty games, in the sense that I would be at someone's house who played a lot of Call of Duty and be like, "Hey, you want to play with me? Okay, I'll be guest one." And then I'll be matched made with all of the people who are on their level.
Mm-hmm.
So I am just dying, spawning, dying in less than 5 seconds. And that is not fun for me. That's why I hate, like, the Galactic Assault mode. That's why I hated the War mode in
Battlefield in World War II.
Yep. Yeah, like, that's just
same.
That's not fun for me. And so, but that was Team Deathmatch.
Yeah,
and that's how that was happening. So I was like, I hate Call of Duty. Those games are stupid. And then Black Ops 3 comes out, and all of my friends are playing it, and they stopped playing whatever we were playing before. So I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll try this one. And then I got pretty good at it. So I liked it a lot, but I hated Infinite Warfare because of the weapons upgrade system. And then World War II was fun. We just didn't play
nearly as much of it
as we did Black Ops 3.
Yeah, that's really true, which is kind of a bummer because we did have a lot of fun with it.
Mm. Well, and it grew on us too, because I remember your initial review was like, this game sucks.
Yeah, like, it was really meh. But yeah, no, I definitely, like, once I got used to it, I guess. Because I had put so much time into Black Ops 3, and it had been a while since I played a Call of Duty game. I was playing a lot of Overwatch, so it was different. But yeah, Black Ops 3, Dalton, was that the first Call of Duty game you ever bought?
Yep. That's why I said I'm not going to buy it, and then I know I am, because I'm going to buy it on Black Friday and then send Jesse a very mean Facebook message.
Like, Jesse's like, you said, oh, I'm not going to buy it, and Jesse's brain, challenge accepted.
No, it's Black Ops. He's gonna buy it because he had a lot of fun with Black Ops 3.
I did,
and we're gonna play like we're gonna play this game together.
Yeah, yeah. We are so much.
So yeah, Black Ops 4. It was one of those things. Like I was watching the live reveal, and yeah, going back to the wall running and stuff. They talked about like boots on the ground. We're not gonna have wall running. We're not gonna have air like the jetpack jumping.
Their initial thing said that they were like it was boots on the ground, and it was going to be like near future, so like 2060.
Yeah, but it's
like not even crazy, you know, futuristic stuff.
It definitely seems to be right, like, because it has a lot of the same specialty classes. Mm-hmm. So it seems to be just basically right where it was. They just took out the wall running and the wall jumping. Or maybe it's a prequel.
That's actually what I was about to say, is like, which would be pretty neat. But I don't play the story in those games.
There's not a story in this one.
Yeah, there's no there.
Oh.
Yeah, they devoted all the time they would have to putting into a campaign to revamping completely the weapon system.
Well, that was a choice.
They also
and they added a battle royale
mode. They wanted to do it. They were working on a campaign. Like the campaign was being worked on, but they realized it wasn't going to be finished in time, which is insane because they're on a 3-year cycle.
Yeah.
But they also probably scrapped the campaign because Fortnite and PUBG blew up and they needed it and they decided and the higher-ups decided, "Hey, this is popular. You're doing this now." And so it's called Blackout. We have no details other than it's the biggest map that in any Call of Duty game ever, and it's going to be featuring, and this makes no sense to me. It would make way more sense to me whenever we find out Battlefield's doing it, but it's going to include land, air, and sea vehicles. Because Call of Duty is not a vehicle-based game at all.
You sometimes get vehicles in campaign,
and that's like
about
a rail shooter.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, I thought.
Most of the time, yeah.
So
but yeah, I mean, like you've got vehicles and stuff in PUBG, so I guess they put it in there. But regardless, the weapon system is what I'm kind of excited about.
See, and I wanted to go back and watch the full thing, but I only ended up watching the trailers. So like, I saw the zombies trailer and the Blackout thing, and
yeah, the zombies, like, because zombies are coming back as well. Like, I've never been a zombie fan, so I don't really care. A lot of people, you know, said it looked really cool.
I've always wanted to give it a try. But just, like, I've always been, like, the only... Like, Shannon has always expressed interest in doing it, too. But then anytime we play together, it's usually with, like, you guys as well. And since we're the only ones that are interested in it, we just have more fun with Team Deathmatch.
Yeah, I mean, we can try zombies at some point. I just don't.
Or, like, even whenever, like, me and Shannon... If it's just me and Shannon playing, we just end up doing...
Deathmatch
or something.
Yep. So which PS4 Pro do you want to get? Do you want to get the Spider-Man one or you want to get the Black Ops 4 one?
Oh, that's not even a question.
No.
You getting Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Dang it, I didn't want the Black Ops 4 one. We're the only two without a Pro.
But, I mean, I imagine we're getting this game on the Xbox, though. Call of Duty.
Man.
Why wouldn't we?
I just had that thought. No, that didn't pop into my head until literally just now. Damn it.
That we're getting it on Xbox?
It looks like we're going to be having the same PS4 Pro.
Oh, because the Spider-Man one?
Well, yeah, because I want a PS4 Pro, but I want a special edition one.
Oh, right.
Because that God of War one is pretty.
Yeah, it really is.
It is nice.
But anyway, so, yeah, Black Ops. I watched the trailer. Obviously, that was one of the first things they showed in there. And there's a whole lot to pick apart in that trailer. One of the big things is, like, you no longer heal automatically. Healing is now just a thing, like, you do in the game. That I believe is on a cooldown.
Mm-hmm.
So you just pop like a healing item, basically.
So it's one of the things that, like, we were talking about, like the decisions being made. One of them is the blackout mode, which is they're adding battle royale.
Yeah.
One of them is also like they've decided that they want to just completely ape Overwatch and Rainbow Six Siege.
Yeah, a little bit, because it looks like it's supposed to be a lot more tactical. Mm-hmm. Which I hope it's not actually.
If they give us a tactical mode.
Cool.
Or like if they give us a Rainbow Six Siege mode. Cool. I would absolutely play that. Like I would give it a try, especially if we can do like against bots.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if they're getting rid of just like standard deathmatch or they're completely revamping the way deathmatch is played.
From the look of the trailer, it's not. Because they did have that, like, the opening of the trailer definitely made it look like, it's like, all right, guys, here we go, tactical, go. Like, they're defending their point, we got to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, after that, like, everything else looked like standard deathmatch, which is fine. I do like the change with the healing. Instead of healing over time, like, if you find cover, you can heal up and turn around, then it's just on cooldown. I don't know if it refreshes. They didn't say whether or not it was on cooldown. So I don't know if it refreshes like at any time or just when you die or what. They're also introducing a medic class, Dalton. So I know how you like that.
No, you like that because I'll figure out how to make it work.
Yeah, because you can basically use that healing ability for multiple people with your special.
Do I get to be a very pretty blonde?
I have no idea.
Well, then damn it.
They brought back a lot of the class, well, a few of the classes from the last one we saw, like Annihilator's back, basically the one-shot kill gun.
Yeah.
Firebreak is back with different abilities. He has like an area denial ability now. Just like plants down a fiery, like a fusion core, and everybody in diameter of it takes fire damage.
You know, it'd be really cool if they had wall running or double jump to do that.
No.
No, that would be awesome. You can't tell me that would not be cool.
Okay, yeah, that was the other thing. Yeah, the thought that I didn't finish there. Yeah, they started off talking about, like, it's boots on the ground. Like, no air jumping, no wall running. And people in the crowd are cheering, and I'm like, man, I really liked that.
I did, too.
Like, that was so much fun.
Yeah, it was super fun in Black Ops 3.
I wasn't great at it, but when I made it work, you felt so awesome.
Oh, yeah. Like, just running on a wall or, like, in air, you kill a man. Just,
Like, yeah, it's infuriating when someone
does it
just,
to you,
like, wrecks you in a cinematic fashion. But whenever you can get a kill, like, while you're wall running, like that three times that happened, oh, it was so cool.
Because, yeah, I had a lot of fun doing that on, I don't remember the map. It was the one that was, like, the heavy forest. The right side of it was basically all jump and wall run because it was, like,
it would bottom
bridges
out.
And trees and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, no, that one was super fun. Like, that was when I was using the Shiva, and I could just run on the wall and pop, pop, and just killing people.
Yeah, or oh, the God, like that so really cool. bright lit one that was just like, it was very small contained, but it had the walls on the side.
Yeah.
So you just get to the other side of the, like, all right, well, good luck, because you'll always meet somebody on there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the thing about the leaked collector's specialist edition?
For Call of Duty?
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. So and this is purely speculative. No one has from Treyarch or Activision have confirmed it. But the Specialist Edition comes with the game, a 5-inch statue, a custom steelbook, and then 1,100 Call of Duty points. But the reason that it's news is because what also usually comes with those is a season pass.
Right.
So it looks like there is a chance, and there is people from Gaming Intel is where this comes from. They have an exclusive source telling them that there will not be a season pass in this game, but there will be, but it is only for the zombies mode.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Because Treyarch, and they are recognizing the drastic drop in player count after every DLC pack. So they're splitting their player base. So they may be working to, there may be like new maps released, but they may be going like the Battlefront method where you're not actually paying for.
Because
that's, and like when you look at World War II, they went from Infinite Warfare, where you could just drop real world money to open boxes to get better guns for multiplayer.
Yeah.
They changed that to where the only things you could get from paying real world money was bonuses to the co-op zombie mode.
Right.
You didn't have anything in like, so they may be taking that like even a step further.
Because the stuff you got was, or the stuff you got in the multiplayer, like for the multiplayer anyway, it didn't make any changes. It just looked cool.
Right.
So that would be awesome if we could get like extra skins and stuff like that for the specialist classes and things along those lines.
Right.
For the deathmatch that make no difference whatsoever in TDM.
That is the important part to note.
Especially if Black Ops 3, or if I'm sorry, if Black Ops 4 is, you know, going back to the Black Ops 3 model of having, you know, all of those character classes played the exact same. It was just based on what your ultimate ability,
right.
what you wanted your ultimate ability to do. Which, you could do so many, like, customizable, like, skin variations and stuff like that.
Oh,
so,
yeah. And, I mean, on top of that, like, the variations on the weapons and stuff. Because that was really cool in World War II, getting, like, awesome weapon variants. Like, because there were some really cool-looking ones.
Mm-hmm.
And they just made no difference to gameplay.
Yeah, they didn't impact, you know, if you get a kill on it, you don't have to reload it or BS like that.
As far as the DLC goes, that's absolutely how our group has worked.
Yeah.
Where we play the game pretty hard until the first DLC comes out. And then for Black Ops 3, we bought the first DLC, and we played pretty hard for a while.
Yeah.
But World War II, we just stopped.
Yeah. And so, this is just a rumor, totally unsubstantiated. We may get more info around E3 time.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, if they announce that, even if they do, like, totally screw with the team deathmatch aspect of things, which, like you said, I don't necessarily think they're going to do,
mm-hmm.
like, yeah, I'll be buying this then.
Yeah, no, because that's super cool. So anyway, yeah, one of the biggest things, though, that weapon system that I keep talking about that I haven't gotten to yet, they have completely revamped how the weapon system works, where guns will now have predictive recoil. The more you use a gun, you can learn how it recoils, and you can actually make micro adjustments while you're playing to make yourself more accurate, basically. Basically, you can kind of predict the where the spread is going to go, which on console, I don't think is going to be a huge deal, but...
How is that different from any... Because I kind of feel like I try to do that anyway.
The spread is always random. The recoil is pretty consistent on guns,
mm-hmm.
but regardless of what the recoil does, the spread is random inside of the dot.
Okay.
So, yeah, like, it'll shoot up, mm-hmm. but it can shoot anywhere, like, in that dot when it shoots up.
Mm-hmm.
This will have more of a, like, the spread goes with the recoil, and you can kind of predict what's going to happen with it.
Huh.
So it's something like old Counter-Strike games did, but...
Yeah, and I was like, oh, so people who are real good at it are going to get real good at it.
Yes. But
I'm not.
But it's really, really, really hard to make micro adjustments on with a controller.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, not going to matter. Playing it on PC.
Yeah.
It won't.
Because
really...
I need to trade it in.
Yeah, it won't. It will not matter. But anyway, every gun, like, they're not going to have these same attachments for every single gun this time. Apparently, each gun will have a distinct set of attachments. So you're not going to just get like
iron sight, like
I'm sure
suppressor
every single,
stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm sure every single gun will still have a red dot sight or some variation thereof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the reflex.
But, yeah, not every gun is going to get like. Extended mags and FMJ rounds, etc.
That's actually really cool.
Yeah. So each gun has their own set of attachments.
Did you see the? Because it's going back to the blackout mode, that their battle royale. Did you see the thing where they said like all of the? They mentioned something like every something from all Call of Duty games will be featured in it. Did you see that?
No.
Okay.
I only watched what they did about the multiplayer, and then they got to zombies, and I was like, I don't care.
The zombies trailer looked pretty cool. Like, it looks like it's going to be more story-based, and it also looks like it's on the Titanic.
Oh, I saw one that looked like they were in ancient Rome.
I think there's a bunch of different ones, because, like, it jumped from the Colosseum. You're like, they start on the Titanic, and then they get, like, teleported to the Colosseum, and that's all melee-based. And then they, you know, the portal happens again, and then they jump back, and they're back on the Titanic, or they're somewhere else, because there's a third location, but I don't know if they showed it.
Weird.
Which, I mean, again, sounds super cool, probably not a thing I'm going to explore, but, like, zombies has been a thing that people have actively tried to, like, they want that to be its own release.
Yeah.
Because it's so popular.
Yeah, no, like, I understand that I am in the minority for zombie stuff, like... Zombies is dumb popular with Call of Duty.
And jumping back to the DLC leak, like, one of the things that comes with every map pack is the next part of the zombies mode.
Yep.
Is they always include some sort of zombie thing
in
there.
You usually get, like, it's four multiplayer maps and then a zombie thing. And that's how the DLC almost has always been, or at least since Black Ops 2. Yeah, whenever that's when they first started really taking zombies seriously
mm-hmm.
and putting it in every game.
And it would be super... Yeah, because it was just like a little Easter egg in one of the early Call of Duty games, wasn't it?
Yeah, World at War. Mm-hmm. Call of Duty World at War. It was Treyarch's first one, like in... It was Treyarch's first good one in a while. No, it was their first good one. And, yeah, it was basically if you beat the game at the end of the game, you could unlock Nazi zombies, and you were just killing Nazi zombies.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, everybody really, really liked it. And then, yeah, they put it in Black Ops 2, like, as a full mode. And people really, really, really liked it, mm-hmm. and it just kind of shot up from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, all right, we don't have a whole lot of time left, so I'm going to get to this last bit again. So this is a leak from a possible Nintendo leak from E3. I don't know if you could find a boulder of salt big enough for this.
No, yeah, because it's like, because I even,
the
like,
Earth?
They even read my question on the Kind of Funny Games Daily show that they did, because I asked them about it, it's like, okay, what, like, do you think this could be real? Mm-hmm. And they were like, probably not.
Yeah, because this is too good. If this is real,
mm-hmm.
then there's nothing any other developer can do to beat this.
I do think there are aspects of it that will be real, but like one of the things they mentioned is it's too clean, like they're not using code names, and also the Treehouse stuff is always under just like super tight lock and key.
Yeah.
but the things that have, because there were, like, this has been a big week in Nintendo leaks.
Yeah.
In general, which a couple of, like, the two ones that seem very credible.
Yeah, I'm going to mention those as we go.
Are part of it.
So, yeah, basically we get an intro trailer, which shows off a bunch of stuff we already knew about. Mm-hmm. FighterZ, FIFA, NBA, Octopath Traveler, and Wolfenstein 2. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the intro trailer. It's all stuff we already knew about. We already know that we're getting a Super Smash Brothers game.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's that was next on the list. That's going to happen. That's going to be an E3. Something new, Punch-Out! Become the Champion. And it's being done by Next Level Games, who did the last Punch-Out game. Because, that's something else that kind of adds to this list a little bit, is that they have, you know, dev teams and people that are going to be talking about it, mm-hmm. which is unusual. But, so we're going to get a Punch-Out game, possibly. Again, boulder of salt. There's not enough Dalton Anthony for this, like, for there to be enough salt to take with this. Like,
it's...
I don't have anything to follow that with. I tried. You're pretty accurate.
That's fine. All right. So Metroid Prime Renegade. So instead, we already knew we were getting Metroid Prime 4.
And this is one of the things that people were like, no, this makes it seem like it's not real because they did. It doesn't say 4. It's just Metroid Prime and then Renegade.
So that basically they might be dropping the...
It hurts to make him laugh, so I'm just texting him a single word that makes him laugh every time. I'm inflicting pain on him.
Gotcha. I was wondering what was happening over here. But anyway, yeah, Metroid Prime Renegade. We got the Splatoon 2 Octo expansion stuff, which we already knew we were getting. Then a new Fire Emblem game, Fire Emblem Memories.
Mm-hmm. Which it's been rumored that there's a main Switch Fire Emblem release. Not
in the works.
Not, was it Heroes? Warriors?
Warriors was the other Switch release.
Okay. But that was like the Dynasty Warriors. It wasn't like mm-hmm. a traditional Fire Emblem game.
Right. Fallout 3 Anniversary Edition.
Which is also a thing that has been somewhat rumored, but there hasn't been any confirmation on it.
Yeah, because Fallout 3 did release 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and Bethesda is really happy with how their ports have gone on the Switch so far.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that it's a possibility that could be happening.
It's also entirely possible that if that one ends up being true, that it may be announced on the Nintendo stage, but like if they show a trailer or something, it would also come out on the PS4 and the Xbox One.
Yes, and it'll almost certainly come out. It'll be in the Bethesda conference almost certainly.
Yeah.
But anyway, Yoshi's Flipping Island, which we did hear kind of recently that we're getting a Yoshi's Island game, mm-hmm. But that's all we got about it.
That's also another thing is like there's no way Nintendo would name a game something flipping anything.
Nah, I'm going to have to disagree on that one.
Yeah, because I could absolutely see them calling something Yoshi's Flipping Island, and it's Yoshi flipping things.
Oh, no, yeah, like, that's the aspect of the game. But, I don't know. I kind of agree with the other people who are being like, they know better.
All right, and so this one, this next one actually got legitimate, like, credible leaks elsewhere.
Yeah.
It's the Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee editions.
Which is the main, because we knew Pokemon was coming.
Yes.
We're hoping maybe this year even, like as early as 2018. But instead of it being
it is a new Pokemon title,
mm-hmm.
but instead of it being like the next one in the line, it's going to be a remake of Yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to have graphics somewhere between like Pokemon Sun and Moon and Pokken Tournament.
Oh.
Which, yeah, if I could get a real Pokemon game, like, close to Pokken Tournament graphics.
I'm going to need it to look better than Sun and Moon.
Oh, yeah.
It looked fine, but when I'm playing it on the Switch...
Oh, yeah, it'll have to look better.
Because this isn't going to be this isn't a 3DS game anymore. It's a Switch. Like, you say it would have to. For me, yes, it would have to.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, mm-hmm. It's going to need to look good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's going to feature some elements of Pokemon Go, including how, like, heavy, you throw the Pokeball.
Pokemon Go integration, which, gross. All of that is gross.
Yeah, no, I don't want to, like, I don't want to be in charge.
That's entirely optional.
I would hope, but we'll see.
Yeah.
And, like, there's no real news on what that means, aside from, like it said, like, one of the things that they've said with it is that it's how you throw Pokeballs now.
Yeah, but and I'm sure there's an option to not do that.
Because if I'm playing with my Pro Controller, like,
exactly.
I can't swipe.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, if I've got it hooked up to the TV, that's just not going to work. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a way around it, or there's a way to not do that, and that's just an option you can set up,
which
would be my guess.
As long as it's an option, and even if I'm playing in handheld mode, I don't have to swipe on my screen. Mm-hmm. I can turn that off. Then that's fine. That's pretty harmless.
Yeah, I agree.
There's also a lot of things about like the items that you pick up in Pokemon Go. You may be able to transfer back and forth. Instead of having a Pokewalker, you can maybe put your Pokemon with your like to your Pokemon Go avatar to do something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, a lot of interesting stuff there, and it's going to be you're not going to be red or blue.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's. Or Gary, or whatever you want to call
Ash.
Him. Or Ash.
Because they are two separate, like, they're two separate characters.
Yeah.
But you're not going to be as either of them.
Right. So, yeah, but you will have the option of, obviously, then Eevee or Pikachu as your starter, depending on which game you get.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, they're going to walk behind you, like they did in Pokemon Yellow.
Hopefully it switches to where every Pokemon, whoever you have in your first slot,
hopefully so.
Behind you.
Like, I would really like that to be the case, but I could absolutely see them just doing
only Eevee or Pikachu. Yeah.
And we don't know for sure what all Pokemon are going to be in the game, but for sure, like, it might just be the original 150.
Which, please, no.
Yeah, I want
like,
at least Gen 1 and 2.
There are so many great Pokemon that have been added in the over the years, mm-hmm. and, like, Sun and Moon, and even X and Y, have spoiled me. Because you have a very eclectic choice of who you want for your first team going up against the first boss. Or against the first gym leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
And you just don't have that in the original 150.
No, you pretty much have to, like, depending on who you got as your starter, there's a distinct set of things you have to do to succeed in the first two gyms.
Yeah.
Or you just have to grind for mm-hmm. hours.
Charmander is basically hard mode.
Yeah, no, that was confirmed a long time ago. Yeah, like, Charmander's hard mode. Bulbasaur is easy, and Squirtle is normal difficulty. That's kind of how they set their difficulty for the game.
Well, you keep looking at me when you said Bulbasaur is easy.
I've been doing that this entire show, just looking between the two of you. It's almost like I'm at the end of the table and having a conversation with you.
And you know you're the one that likes the worst starter, so...
So anyway, yeah, we got a bunch of stuff about Pokemon. We'll have to see what we get. One of the next big ones that's kind of crazy, F-Zero SX. So we're finally getting... We haven't gotten an F-Zero game since the GameCube and, like, early GameCube.
I also, like, this... For me personally, and again, I don't know. I could be proven wrong. But this, because of what is also coming later,
mm-hmm.
assuming that's true, which that has way more... traction behind it that yeah. people believe it's more real. I don't think this is happening.
I agree.
Because it's too similar to something else that they may be planning already.
Yep. And we're getting to that in just a second. Fortnite coming to the Switch, which has been rumored,
yeah.
but not any kind of confirmed. So that could be kind of big. And then the thing that Asa was talking about, Star Fox Lylat System is the last thing on the list, developed by Retro Studios, and it will be. At least we've got some credible sources saying that there is going to be a new Star Fox game. Mm-hmm. It will be developed by Retro Studios, which kind of added a little bit of credence to this leak because it came like days after that Star Fox Racing game leak.
Right.
So, yeah, but Lylat System will be a Star Fox racing game.
But not in a traditional, like, it's not going to just flat out replace F-Zero. It's going to feature, it's going to be similar, more similar to like Diddy Kong Racing than Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Because it's going to have potentially levels, like with an open world. There will be like boss battles. It'll also be like combat focused. So, you know, you have to be keeping an eye on your speed and, you know, your steering, but you can also destroy other ships and not like Mario power ups, but like actual like dogfighty kind of combat.
Right, like,
so
actually,
it sounds the more I think about it, the more I like it. Like, my initial read of, oh, they're making a Star Fox racing game? No, hard pass, gross. Just give me a good Star Fox game.
Uh-huh.
It can't be that hard. Like, they make it look real hard to make a good one.
Mm-hmm.
But the more I think about this, the more interested I am in it. So I kind of hope it's real. Also, Retro is Retro.
Yeah.
And just awesome.
Yep. So, yeah, we'll have to see what we get out of that. Because, again, that last one does have some credible sources behind it. Outside of this big leak. So most of that list, like pretty much everything but Pokemon and Star Fox, anything else that we haven't already heard about before,
mm-hmm.
find the biggest grain of salt you can because,
right.
again, this did not come from a credible source.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot verify this with anybody or anyone, so we don't
And anyone
know.
Who would be able to verify it is skeptical at best.
Right.
So
yeah, it's one of those things where... again, if this ends up being legit, Nintendo will win E3, mm-hmm. hands down. I cannot think of anything any other studio could give me that would beat that list.
Especially because, like, Sony already told us what the big four things they're bringing are going to be. They're mm-hmm. bringing Death Stranding, Spider-Man, Last of Us 2, and Ghosts of Tsushima.
Yeah, well, so they're not, because they're not going to announce anything new. They're just going to elaborate on...
I don't think that's going to happen. I think they can announce new things, but it's not going to be a big spotlight, huge event. Whereas, like, the thing they're going to spend the most time on are those four.
Right.
But I would be genuinely surprised if they didn't announce anything new.
I don't know. We'll have to see. Either way, yeah, we're ramping up to E3 now. It's in 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So we're slowly getting more video game news, and we'll be able to talk about more video games.
I also
soon.
Really, because yeah, Judges Week was this week as well.
Mm.
So like leaks. I mean, their NDA'd or
yeah, NDA, non-disclosure yeah, agreement.
They're NDA'd out the rear yeah. on those. So I mean, it wouldn't be. Don't count on like huge leaks coming out of that. But also, Judges Week isn't where like the huge groundbreaking. Oh my God, can you believe this? Comes right. from.
So yeah, we'll have to see what we get. Yeah, the last thing I want to mention just real quick before we sign out of here, Kingdom Hearts 3 has a playable demo that people have been playing. Mm-hmm. So it's real, folks.
I don't believe them.
No, Tim Geddes, who's again one of the kind of funny guys, he was one of the first people to play it. And he was like, so it's beautiful. It is like an absolutely gorgeous game. There's a heavy focus on summons, but it plays like a clunky PS2 game.
Because the review embargo, I think, comes up, like either it just came up or it's about to.
Mm-hmm.
And all the people that have been able to play this game earlier are going to be able to talk about it soon.
Yeah.
So, yeah, people have been able to play the game, though. It does exist. Which, I mean, that's...
Toy Story was super awesome.
Yeah.
Because I guess that's one of the things that they... That's one of the areas that you were able to be
and in. And Wreck-It Ralph mm-hmm. is in the game.
Until it shows up at Walmart. Like, and Mandy's would be squealing right now. She might be wherever she's at. But she needs to know deep down, I'm saying, we need to calm down.
Yeah, I mean, it still could get pushed back for a year. But
oh, sweet baby.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.